This morning, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved of God, St. Paul reminds us in Romans 3:23 that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are to approach God's throne of grace with confidence, confessing our sins to Him. And so we take a moment to confess in the silence of our hearts. Now we confess our sins as a community of faith. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God, and he bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our opening hymn. Let us pray. Almighty Father, your kingdom has broken into our troubled world through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Help us to hear your word and obey it, so that we become instruments of your redeeming love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Invite the congregation to be seated. Invite our children to come on up for a...
An expert in religious law did his best to trap Jesus. He asked our Lord, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" The man wanted Jesus to say, "Follow the law, you'll be saved." But Jesus wanted him and us to dig deeper. Salvation is not about following the rules. It's about love and mercy and faith in the one true Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus shares this memorable parable and invites us to consider the depths of what it means to live in this world as people transformed by the gospel. Our reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hey, everybody, would you please join me in prayer? Lord God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your great love for us. And we ask that you would bring healing and restoration in our lives and to this most troubled world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. And as I get set up here, do want to mention we have our new portals of prayer that are here for April and for that next quarter. So please pick one up and bring one for a friend if you like. All right, let me just get everything set here for us. You know, today we have this parable that is one of the most famous parables of all of Jesus' teaching. In fact, there's a lot of folks out there in the world who don't even walk into church that might even know about this parable. We call it the parable of the Good Samaritan, but today I'm going to just challenge that. This is one of those things that in the cosmic scope of things really don't matter, but today it does. So the title Good Samaritan is not found anywhere in Scripture. It's not there. We call it the Good Samaritan because we think, ooh, well, this was a good guy. And you'll, if you look in your Bibles, maybe your NIV or ESV or King James or whatever, there's little titles that say, and in fact, if you were to look that up, it would say, the Good Samaritan. Well, guess what? In 1984, when the NIV was published, the translators who did a fabulous job translating from the Greek into the English and the Hebrew into the English, they put these little subheadings throughout the Bible to help you find it. Now, I will tell you, I love that. I love that it's there because I can look, and I'm looking through Luke, and I think, where was that parable about the Samaritan? Well, I can find it, and because it says Good Samaritan. But that's why it's titled that. It's not that Jesus stood up and said, and now I'm telling the parable of the Good Samaritan. Nope. It's about a man traveling down a road. Okay? It's about a whole other thing. And so I want us to, just for today, push that title aside. And what we're going to be looking at is Love and Mercy, the story of the Samaritan traveler. Okay, so I'm going to backtrack a bit because one of Jesus' very first sermons is in Mark chapter 1. We hear this. Jesus has been baptized. He has come back from the wilderness. And his first sermon is, repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God has come near. And we might say the kingdom of God has broken in. What does that mean? It means that God's design, his plan to restore and heal this world has come. And when he says, remember he's standing there saying this, the kingdom of God has come near, what he's doing is pointing to himself. It's almost as though he's saying, you want to see the kingdom of God? Look at me. Look at me. Watch me. See what I do. Hear what I say. See how I restore everything I touch. What does he start doing? He starts casting out demons. With a word, he casts them out, doesn't he? He's restoring. Sin, death, and the power of the devil are of this kingdom. But the kingdom of God is a place where demons have no place. When there is blindness, what does he do? He touches or says a word, and those people are healed, right? He restores. When somebody has a skin disease like leprosy, what does he do? He touches or says a word, and they're restored. Somebody's lame. Somebody's paralyzed. What does he do? Says a word or touches, and it's restored. That's the nature of the kingdom of God. And so in this, what we see is this incredible love that God has for the world. We call it agape love. There's lots of different kinds of love out there, but agape love is that's a Greek word, and it means a complete and total self-sacrificing love that does everything to restore. And when we hear that for God so loved the world, it's agape love. But here's the thing. What did God give up? What did the Father give up? What did the Son give up? His life. For God so that he gave his one and only Son. Okay? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about God's mercy. We're talking about his compassion. We're talking about grace here. And it's all grace that restores. I love the little Band-Aid. Because we can help. You know, and here's the thing with the Samaritan. I remember growing up, and I love this parable. And I remember growing up as a kid learning about it. And I thought, okay, I'm just supposed to go out and do the same thing. But what we see in when Jesus is telling us about this, this is not something simply, a story simply to imitate. And you know what? I praise God for the many Samaritan-type ministries that we have out there. So much of what we've done as Christians throughout the world is helping to restore and to heal people. I mean, the Samaritan's Purse, which goes around the world and helps with disasters. We have the Good Samaritan Center here in town. I mean, this is all beautiful. But today I want to focus in, I think, on what Jesus is seeking to explain to us and show us about how he has come into this troubled world, how the kingdom of God has broken in, and how he has brought healing, and how he calls us to be agents and instruments of his healing and redeeming love. So part of what Jesus does when he tells a parable, it's not just for us to go, oh, isn't that just a wonderful story? A big part of what God is calling us to do and to hear is he says, I want you to come into the story. I want you to experience the story. I want you to experience the grace, the power, the love, because this story isn't just over here. This is your story. This is your story. This is a story for you and about you. And I want to talk about the for a moment. I want to talk about the expert. It says the expert in the law. This is not a lawyer. This is an expert in religious law. And they really thought that, okay, all I have to do is follow a list of things and then I'm right with God. And he says, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And he actually would have had a checklist that said, okay, I have to give this much. I have to worship this much. I have to take care of the poor this much. Check, 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 check. And he asked Jesus, and here's the thing. This is not an honest inquiry, I guess you'd say. This is not somebody just with a heart really wanting to know God's will and God's heart for them. This is a man, it actually said, Luke records this, he actually was trying to trap Jesus. Let me ask you something. If you're going to try to trap Jesus, how's that going to go for you? Well, he's trying to trap Jesus. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus comes back and said, okay, what does the law say? And you know what? There's 613 different parts of that law. But the Jews' acceptable procedure was to summarize the whole law with a command, which is Old Testament, but it's quoted in the New. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Okay? Now, that's the first part, and that's what the man says. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Now, and Jesus said, oh, you've answered correctly. Do this and you shall live. What you don't hear in that is when Jesus says, do this and you shall live, it is an impossible thing that Jesus just said. All right? Because the man's thinking checklist. And when Jesus says this, the heart of the law is this. Love the Lord, agape love, with all your heart. First, let's start with that one. How are y'all doing with that? All your heart, all the time. All your strength, all the time. All your mind. Your mind never wanders to bad things, ever. You never think anything bad about anybody. How are you doing with that? All right? All. It was really a setup, almost, And not in an unkind way, but what Jesus has said, oh, you tell me what the law is. And that's what the man said. And the man's thinking, I do all of that. And Jesus is saying, there's no possible way you can do that. In fact, there's no place, possible way any of us can do that. We all need saving. The kingdom of God, what does the kingdom of God look like that leaves behind sin, death, and the power of the devil? When Jesus returns and the kingdom breaks in, we will be able to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We will be able to. And we will be able to love and think of how perfect you will be when you get there, when Jesus returns and we get all of that. And then when we love our neighbors as ourselves, we will be loving perfectly in the kingdom of God. Remember, this is all about the kingdom. This is all about eternal life. And the man's wanting to justify himself, in other words, saying, all right, you talk about loving your neighbor. Jesus is talking up here, right? And this man is talking down here. Well, and then he says, who's my neighbor? And he goes down here. And so Jesus tells this parable. He talks, and see, this man is asking about the limitations of love. And what is Jesus what is Jesus going to show us about the limitations of love? Throughout his life, throughout his ministry, on the cross, what is he going to be saying about, what is he going to be showing us about the limitations of God's love and the nature of love? That is so far beyond us. And it is the vastness of what we see on the cross. And this is why I like this the picture you saw with the cross and the man. The man just contemplating this. And so at the end of this, after the parable, and I'm skipping ahead here. He says, now who was neighbor to the man? Well, I guess the one who showed mercy. He won't say Samaritan because they hated the Samaritans. And what Jesus says is go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. What he's saying is be a representative of the kingdom of God and love up here. Love the Lord and love your neighbor. But one of the things I'm going to show you here is that, as far as the man who is beaten up, we know almost nothing about him other than he was attacked by robbers. He was stripped and left for dead. Okay? And as we do this, I brought a helper with me. There we go. And for those of you that have no idea, the girls are probably going, what on earth is that? This is a CPR helper. This is called Resusa Annie. You have those? Okay. I just thought coming from Germany, that might be a little strange. And actually, for any of you, this is a little strange. Okay. All right. So here's Annie. She got beat up, left for dead. Okay. We're just going to put Annie right there. Because, well, you know what? No, she's just going to stay like that. I was going to put a blanket on her, but you know what? This is what this is. Now, how helpless is she in her current condition? Pretty helpless? Yeah. How helpless was that man on the side of the road? Was he, you know, when Jesus tells this parable, it says nothing about him reaching out and saying, please help me, please help me. It doesn't say anything. The man has no voice. He has nothing. And that's why I think, that's one of the reasons I covered the mouth here. Okay? And you know what? All the people that walked by were the checklist people, the Levite and the priest. They had their checklist, and they thought, well, that's probably not my neighbor because there was no identifying mark here. Not part of my tribe. Not my people. And so there's that person laying on the side of the road, not able to ask for help, needing restoration, needing healing, needing all the help, completely helpless. And I believe one of the things that Jesus is saying to us, remember, this is not just about an example for us to imitate. Jesus, when he talks to us, he invites us into the parable. And I believe what he's doing here today and what he did way back when is inviting you to identify not with the Samaritan, but with this guy. We are lost and wounded sinners, left to die. Satan would have us die. Satan would have us have nothing in this world. Would rip, promise everything and rip everything away from us just for spite. And what Jesus shows us is how he acts towards us. Jesus, we're going to put Jesus in the place of that Samaritan. Jesus comes to us. He enters into our world. And you know what? He was despised by a lot of religious people. He was rejected by a lot of religious people. In that day, the Samaritans were despised and rejected by the religious people in Jesus, in Jerusalem and in among the Jewish people. But it was Jesus, or it was the Samaritan that came to the man. And what did the man do? What did the Samaritan do? We're told that he came to where the man was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. He had pity on him. Compassion means from the depths of his being, he saw the man. This is not just, oh man, I guess I better help him. This was a deep, compassionate love. Is that what Jesus has for you? Yes. And Jesus looks at us, beaten down, wounded sinners. And you know what? No matter where you are in your life, no matter what you've done, no matter what happened, here's the fact. Do we know anything about this man in the parable? Other than he was beaten by robbers. Nothing. What Jesus says to us is, you know what? No matter who you are, no matter what your background, there is no boundary, there is no limit. I have come to save you. I have come and I am having compassion on you. I have pity on you. And we're told that the Samaritan went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. That sounds a little strange, but that was medicine in that day. That was their medicine. Jesus brings healing. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Jesus picks us up, ministers to us. And again, what did this person do as far as reaching out to Jesus, we'll say? Did they lift his arm? No. Call out? No. Jesus just saw and had compassion, which is exactly what he does for you and me, even before we raise a hand, even before we cry out to Jesus. He does it. And we're told he takes us and he takes care of us. And it says, the next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense. What he's saying is, I'm going to pay the price to save this person, to purchase this person. I'm going to save, I'm going to redeem, I'm going to help this person. Martin Luther, when he wrote the explanation to the Apostles' Creed for us. He talks about Jesus, and he said, Jesus has rescued us from sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with silver or gold, but with his holy and precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He's paid the price for you to rescue you. You know, in Isaiah chapter 53, we have this wonderful vision that is given by God to the prophet Isaiah 500 years before Jesus is preaching this message, telling this story. We're told that, and this is from the Message translation, the one who would come would be looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, a man who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. They're talking about Jesus. We looked down on him, thought he was scum, but the fact was, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him on the cross. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. There's always a price to saving. Now in the parable, it's time, it's some risk, it's some money. But for you to be saved, it meant that Jesus had to go to the cross. And as we wrap this up, you see, Jesus takes our place. Let's go to that last slide. Jesus rescues us. He rescues you. And he takes your place. He took your place and paid a price so dear so that you could be restored, so that you could take that first step into the kingdom of heaven and experience a healing that only he can bring, a release, an escape from the clutches of Satan that only he can bring. And in this life now, he doesn't just drop you off at an inn, fortunately. He takes you by the hand, and he walks with you throughout your entire life now, paying the price, but being with you on the journey, and one day bringing you home. So what are we to emulate? We're to come with great humility and say, Lord God, you know what? I can't earn this. But you have paid the price. And I will seek to let this message be known to the world, that whoever is wounded, well, all who are wounded, all of us, need to hear that one has come to save and to restore and to heal forever. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for your great healing for us, for bringing us life and salvation. Bless us, Lord Jesus, and heal us. And it's your name we pray. Amen. And we're going to go ahead and sing together as we
prayer, giving thanks to God for all that God has provided to us. Let us pray. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, you showed us what love and mercy are by loving us even when we don't deserve it. Help us to extend that same love and mercy to others so that they may be showered with your gift of grace. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God Almighty, continue to send your hand of protection upon the men and women who are serving in harm's way to protect the freedoms that we cherish. Put a hedge of protection over all who serve. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we lift up before you this day all who are in need of your healing, hope, love, and care, especially those who are hospitalized, Curtis Stout, Nan Hinks, Betty Ellerbrocht. Also for those who are on hospice, Alice Behrens, Emma Hirschfeld, and Bill Petmecki. And Lord, for others who may be undergoing treatments or tests or upcoming surgeries, grant them your strength, your healing, your hope, and shower them with your love. Lord, in your mercy. Precious Savior, send forth your church into the highways and the byways of life, that we may share the good news of Christ and transform lives for your glory. Lord, in your mercy. Now, good God, guide us as we pray together that prayer which you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our closing hymn.